The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. Jalan, 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 jalan.
It's My Mate Bought a Toaster O'Clock. Welcome back. I am Tom Price, and joining me today, someone who has once more foolishly, stupidly allowed me to log in to their Amazon account. I'm doing it, and they are sitting in their house, and they're not happy about it. Please welcome Carrie Quinlan. Carrie Quinlan, thank you so much for letting me nose about your purchase history.
Well, if I'd known that you were going to sign into it, I'd have never agreed to this.
No. Well, this is the thing. I'm pleased about
it. I thought I was going to curate it and just say, this is when I bought The Brief History of Time.
But
that doesn't work, does it?
This isn't Desert Island Discs, mate. This isn't supposed to make you look good. We're supposed to find out the truth about you.
This is where you find out I only buy Paul McKenna books.
Yeah, that's what I need to know more about. Exactly that kind of thing. I don't care about Your Brief History of Time. I care about things like, and we're diving right back. And I'm pleased to tell you, Carrie, I don't know if this will be pleasing for you or not, but you are only the second guest on My Mate Bought a Toaster to have an account that goes back to the previous century.
Ooh, who was the other one?
Matt Green.
Ah, good. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Solid company to be in.
Very solid company. Matt Green went back in the 20th century, and he was buying books on Martin Amos. That's what he was doing. He was looking into...
Of course he was.
Very academic, serious, absolute ponce. Whereas you've bought four different books by Maureen Lipman. You've got something to fall back on. Thank you for having
Lord.
Me. When's it coming out? And you can read me like a book. And these have all got brilliant, cheesy photos of Maureen Lipman. I would hesitate
Haven't
to...
they?
I'm not sure they are... contemporary to 1999. They look like they're contemporary to about 1985.
I think they probably were, yeah. I went through quite a big Maureen Lipman phase.
I could see that.
Yeah, because I thought, when was that? Was that around 2000?
Well, this is 1999 that you got this.
Was it 1999?
Yeah, but in fact, You Can Read Me Like a Book, arguably one of the worst titles ever for a release, released in 1996. And the brilliant description, in this collection, Maureen Lipman presents a variety of her adventures and views on topics as diverse as supermodels, sleeping policemen, cones, Coens, and critics. You know she was very pleased with the Coens and Coens line there, don't you?
I bet she was, yeah. Absolutely. Now, I that was when I was applying for drama school, and I thought, right, whose career am I, not necessarily do I want, but whose career am I most likely to have?
I see.
Maureen Lipman, right. And she writes as well, and I write as well, so maybe I'll read what she's written. So I did, I got a lot of Maureen Lipman books, none of which I still own.
Oh, right, okay, they've fallen by the wayside.
They have gone to charity shops.
Right.
But no, they were good little vignettes often.
I didn't
Quite
really,
amusing little tales.
I've never thought of Maureen Lipman as a sort of... Yeah, I've never thought of her as a kind of, raconteur type.
But she's also absolutely terrifying. I met her.
Now we're talking.
I met her 10 years ago.
Okay, how come?
I was doing a play at the Menier Chocolate Factory, written by Jack Rosenthal, her late husband.
Right.
And I was playing two. I had two tiny parts in it. One of them I was a dancer,
right.
And one of them I was a sarcastic waitress,
right.
I was only really cast for one of those roles.
So you had to go to being a sarcastic waitress school, obviously.
Yeah, which was not born for that. And on press night, Maureen came. And I was like, wow, I've read all her books and it's Maureen Lipman and this is really exciting. Mm. And the first thing she said to me was, is your dancing... what was it? Yeah, is that the best you can do or is the dancing supposed to be terrible?
Oh, how lovely. This sort of warm friendliness, isn't it? That you can really...
It is. It was beautiful.
Oh, wow.
So I said, little bit of both, Maureen. And that was the first thing I ever said to Maureen Lipman.
I can't
little
really...
little bit of both, Maureen.
That's a first and indeed last thing that you said to Maureen Lipman. I mean, I can't sort of think of Maureen Lipman without, and this is my generation and hopefully yours as well, without her having a phone attached to her, because she was Beatty, wasn't she?
She was in the Beatty. Yeah. And they were great adverts.
They were great
It's not
great
often
adverts.
You say that anymore, but they were really good adverts.
what ads can you look to now as a returning, as a recurring series? Like, because in fact, BT were responsible for his little Bob, what's his name? Bob Hoskins. He did It's Good to Talk as well, didn't he? But
yeah, he was already, he'd already done like The Long Good Friday and Mona Lisa by then, though, hadn't he? They weren't responsible for Bob Hoskins.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize. I thought he came to fame because of BT. I didn't
know.
No, but what I mean
And of course, Maury Littman had her own sitcom before that.
Oh, not for a second I believe that. I think she was just built on BT ads. No, I mean, I realise she existed before the ads. But what I'm saying is, I like adverts with a sense of soap to them. So, for example, they tried make this a couple of years ago with Ben... Oh, fuck, what's his surname?
Were you about to say Ben off of Armstrong and Miller?
Off of Armstrong and Miller, I think that's right.
Because that would have been brilliant.
Oh, God. So they had this a couple of years ago with Ben Miller and Ruth Jones. They tried to do those Tesco's ads where there's like characters.
Oh, God.
Do you remember?
Yes,
and it's all a bit sitcom in 30 seconds and there'll be another instalment next year. And they were dreadful.
They were bad. They also did the BT again, had Chris Marshall for a long time.
Oh, he made a fortune off those. Who else was in them? Because you're absolutely right. They had the kind of soap opera thing going on because there was... hang on, here we go. So he played someone called Adam. He even had a character name.
He had a name, God.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was with Esther Hall off of Spooks.
Yes, Esther Hall. Because while they were doing that, I went up for a BT advert.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the worst casting I've ever been to.
Lovely.
And obviously, as you know, advert castings are horrid.
Yeah.
In general, and for the muggles out there, you turn up and you have to stand on an X on the floor and look at the camera and tell them your name and your agent, and then you have to show them your profile,
show them your hands,
show them your hands, both sides of your hands, just make sure they're there. And this is in a room of normally five or six people from the agency or the company or whatever who are not looking up from their phones.
They're all sitting on very low sofas.
And
it looks like they're on a sitcom set of their own and they're sitting on sofas. Yeah. They're looking at their devices. They are beyond rude to you. Yes, carry on. Yeah.
It's extraordinary. But the peak for me of this was the BT ad where I turned up and said, Harry Quinn learns of my agent. Here's the side of my face. Here's the other side of my face. Here are my hands. And then one of them, without looking up from his phone, went, and cry.
I mean, weirdly, that rudeness makes that...
I mean, it does make it easier.
It's doable.
But I remember going to this thing and thinking, this is weird because why don't they just use Esther Hall, who's the regular BT person?
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later the advert was on and it was Esther Hall. So not only was it a grim experience, but it was an absolute waste of time.
Yeah, well, advert casting so often are, and yet every now and again, oops a daisy, I'm doing an advert for Virgin Atlantic for 20 grand for 2 hours work.
Yeah.
For example.
But also that was quite a long time ago. And I've started to find them fun.
Oh.
I've started to quite enjoy them because I care less. And use them. Yeah, you just go and muck about because actually that awfulness of the experience means it doesn't really matter.
No.
So you can just fart about.
Yeah, we can literally fart and just see what happens. Just go in there and drop your
it
guts.
It works for me. Totally.
It could be great for an Imodium casting. You know, these are the things.
There we go.
About.
Perfect.
Okay, good. Staying in 1999, and eventually we will arrive in this century. It's just worth something. Well, there's something quite quirky about this, Carrie, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. Another bunch of books, and this is obviously what happens early doors with Amazon. You bought, and I think this is funny in itself, that you've bought former Tory MP and I believe former Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd's book, Vote to Kill. And I do love it when a politician becomes a thriller writer. But then also, in the same batch, you've also bought The Shape of Ice by Douglas Hurd. So you've double herded. Do you want to tell us what's going on?
I suspect that was a present for my dad.
That is dick lit right there.
Yeah, I suspect was that August?
July.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll have been a present for my dad, whose birthday was at the beginning of August.
Well, there you go. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's probably fine. He was Douglas Hurd was our MP.
Oh, really?
We lived in North Oxfordshire.
I always rather liked him because he had a proper... Like, John Major had that sort of voice, but Douglas Hurd had it right back there, didn't he?
He's really... Yeah. He doubled down on the John Major voice, didn't he?
Yeah. He was a condensed John Major. And he was always rather, because you do get these Tories who are sort of, they seem rather harmless. And
yeah, they seem all right. They're all right. There was a generation, it was weird, because particularly because it was around Thatcher, there was actually a generation who were quite decent and nice. Imagine.
Yeah, I know. Well, Ken Clark was
Competent.
I know.
Imagine that. Competent, nice Tories.
I know. And it's, yeah.
It's hard to believe.
It is.
And I still wouldn't have voted for them.
No,
but it's
incredible when you look back on any videos of old election debates, and everyone's competent and intelligent, and you're like, I'd vote for them. Oh my God, they're a Tory. Jesus.
Yeah.
Hang on one second. My child's just walked in, Carrie. Hello.
Oh.
Hi, darling. I'm just.
Hello.
He can't hear you, Carrie. Hang on.
Oh, you're on headphones.
I'm on headphones, but I'll give you. Which one is it? It's Edmondo. Hang on, Carrie. Edmond.
Which one is it?
It's Edmondo. Do you want to come and sit on my lap and you can say hello to my friend Carrie? You look a bit sad. Put this headphone in here.
Because on the dog walk, I fell over.
You fell over?
Oh, Carrie.
Yeah.
Hey, Edmondo. Hi. You fell over on a walk?
Yeah.
Did you bang your knee?
No, I banged my hand.
Well, show us.
Oh, ow.
Me. Oh, he's wrapped his hand up in his... in his blue top. Oh, yeah, you did. Oh,
that's
love.
A good idea.
And have you washed that hand?
Is it scrawped?
Yeah. Oh. It actually
still hurted me. Oh, poor boy.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
I fell over 2 times.
And this is better than a podcast, isn't it, Carrie?
I keep this in. Edit the other rubbish out. Oh, mate.
Edmund,
it's your...
Poor boy.
Yeah, did anyone look after you?
My mum did.
Did she? Is she any good at looking after you, though?
Yeah.
Or is she too busy being a novelist now?
Has Mummy been writing books today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I've got to go because this is a very important work call with Carrie, so I need to get back to doing some very important work.
Okay.
But I'm hopefully your arm will be better. We'll have a look at it later on. Are you still going to be okay to do Joe Wicks, do you think, or not?
Yeah, I am going to be okay.
Okay, all right. Do you want to say bye to Carrie?
Yeah, cool.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, love. Okay, let's get you down carefully. I don't want to bash your hand. All right,
go. Mate.
See you in a bit. Okay. He's just going. He's wearing right. He's wearing an all-in-one blue bodysuit because you know you get like skins that you wear in winter, like thermals. Okay, and he's got and he loves them so much he wears them as a suit, so they're all bright blue, and that's all he wears. So he looks like who's that character in Arrested Development who dresses in weird sort of green bodysuit or something? He looks like that basically.
Cool.
That was my son.
He hurt his hand.
He hurt his hand, but he's okay now, Carrie. That's something
important. You should keep that in, though.
I think I probably will. I think it was rather nice.
Is he watching Homeschooling with the Nincompoops?
Oh, are you doing Homeschooling with the Nincompoops?
Yeah.
Oh, now listen, let's do a big old plug for your podcast while we're here. So Homeschooling with the Nincompoops, brilliant podcast, out from Great Big Owl right now. Andy Stanton and Carrie Quinlan, tell us what you're doing, please, to celebrate lockdown. And we're all celebrating lockdown.
Well, what we're doing is to celebrate lockdown, because normally on the podcast, we talk to a couple of kids who ask us questions, and we definitely don't lie to them. but obviously, we're not allowed near kids anymore. So we've moved to YouTube, and we're doing daily videos on YouTube, picking random words out of the dictionary and doing just 5 minutes of explaining about that word and definitely not making shit up.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it's really fun.
Homeschooling with the Nincompoops.
Yeah. So search for that on the YouTube.
Okay.
And I'll send you a link and you can add it to the...
All right.
Podcast details or
yes,
something.
Yes, please. Yeah, no, that'd be really good. So we've done some live parenting. We've done some plugging of your podcast. Would it bother you too much if we got back to my podcast now? Is that all right?
My matey potato roaster.
All right, so, Carrie Quinlan, we are now in the 21st century. How does that feel?
Wow, what kind of space age tech am I going to be getting? Hoverboards and jetpacks.
All of that still to come. I mean, we're in the year 2000 at the moment, and you've bought some absolute belters. I mean, where do I even start, Carrie, as we look through the book collection? And I should also sort of stop off quickly to ask, what are you doing with your life at the moment? Where are you at this point in time?
What, in 2000?
Yeah.
I was applying for drama school. So I started. I was doing drama school auditions, and then I was starting at drama school in the September of 2000.
Okay, all right. Where did you go to drama school in the end?
I went to Guildhall.
Very nice. And where were you at uni?
I was at Bristol, but I didn't like it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well.
So I was at uni until 97. So in 99, when I was buying Maureen Lipman books, I was doing stand-up.
Oh, right. Okay. So this was your way in to sort of to get some stand-up spiration out of Maureen Lipman.
Yeah, because that's what jonglers wanted.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Okay, so let's have a look. Donald Rivkin, you bought him a copy of England's 1,000 Best Churches, which is a podcast I'd like to listen to.
Oh, so, yes, right. So, as the millennium turned, I was in North America. I'd gone to visit friends of mine in Montreal who were working there for a year. And I did a bit of travelling around the sort of top right-hand corner of the USA. And I stayed with my parents' friend, Donald Rifkin, in New York.
Oh, I see.
On the Upper West Side. He lived on West 77th Street.
Yes.
It was amazing. I'd never been to New York before. I loved it. And he was very hospitable. So I sent him a book to say thank you.
Oh, that's nice. And you also sent a book to William and Hope Eakins as well. Those guys live in Hartford, Connecticut.
In Hartford, Connecticut. I went to stay with them. They're also friends of my parents. I basically sponged off friends of my parents for a January.
January
2000.
For a little gap year. And you bought them. Interestingly, how you bought for Donald, you bought him England's 1,000 Best Churches, and then for William and Hope, you bought them England's 1,000 Best Churches. So that's nice.
Yeah, well, so, you
thought,
know,
real thought.
It's because thought. Right. So, so Donald had England's 1,000 Best Houses. He already had that, I think.
Right.
I hope I'm not getting this mixed up. So I thought I'd get the next, you know, the next title in the thing. Mm. And Bill and Hope are vicars.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, God, they're going to love that, Bill and Hope.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a good book. It's Simon Jenkins, isn't
it? Yeah. To be fair, it's the sort of book where even if you're not in your 60s or religious, you can still look at it and be like, oh, God, I'm actually good. Because I love a church, even though I'm not so big on the faith element of it. I love the actual building. I love it.
Yeah, I'll totally love a church.
Yeah.
I grew up Catholic.
And you got into comedy. That's weird.
I know that almost never happens in this country.
Really odd, really strange thing. Did you go to a full-on Catholic school then?
I went to a Catholic primary school.
Okay.
And then I didn't go to the Catholic secondary school. My sister went to the Catholic secondary school.
Right.
And I found out years later that the reason I didn't go to the Catholic secondary school is because Jane, my sister, was such a star, was head girl and stuff, that the nuns would bang on at me about how brilliant she was, and that eventually I'd tell one of them to piss off.
Is that true?
That's what my parents were afraid of. That 11-year-old me would tell a nun to piss off.
Oh my God!
So I went to a different school.
Your parents really had your number, didn't they?
Yeah, completely. It makes me extremely proud of 11-year-old me, though.
Yeah, she's prickly, that one. Just send her to a comp, for God's sake.
She's totally telling a nun to fuck off.
There's some quite heavy academia in here, considering you're not at uni in 2000. I mean, who, for God's sake, unless you're at university, who buys the Riverside Chaucer?
Someone who's about to go to drama school. And it's on the reading list.
Oh, really? God, that's very academic for drama school, isn't it? Isn't it all right sort of getting in touch with your inner clown?
Well, there's a bit of that, but there's also, like, poetry and text.
Oh, yeah, here we go. The Norton Anthology of Poetry, yeah.
Yeah, so we were just learning. We weren't, like, you know, going into Chaucer, for want of a better phrase.
No.
We were learning chunks of text.
You bought Respect for Acting by Uta Hagen.
It's really good.
Is it now, here's the question, 20 years later, and it is 20 years, Carrie, is it easy to still have respect for acting?
I think I might need to reread the book.
Right.
Because, brilliantly, that summer, after I gave up stand-up and was waiting to go to Guildhall, I got a temping job on reception at a company in Oxfordshire that no one ever visited or phoned. So I read the entire reading list.
Oh, wow.
In like 4 weeks. It was great.
You must have felt armed to your teeth when you arrived at drama school having read, because everyone else arrives at any university or drama school having read most 5% of the reading list, feeling terrified they're going to get found out.
Yeah, but reading stuff doesn't really work for drama school. So they, so you get there and they go, oh no, you read too much, loosen up. You go, you just sent, you sent me the fucking list.
That's
come
so
on, guys.
We're going to 2001. We've got, oh, look, you've bought War and Peace by Tolstoy et al. I thought he wrote that.
Oh,
himself.
Brilliant.
So have you
yeah,
read
me
it?
Too.
Have you read it?
Do you know, I started reading it at the beginning of lockdown.
Oh, go on.
I can't keep up with who everyone is.
No, it's a big problem, isn't it? And all the names look the same as well.
Which I know is racist, but what I'm saying is you're racist.
So no, I mean, it's true, but they sort of do look the same, because if you don't speak Russian and you're seeing lots of Russian words and
it's all the patronymics, similar.
Yes, yeah. That's what I mean. It's impossible.
But I feel like I need to do a chart.
Yeah.
To read it properly.
Why? Okay, here's an idea for a business, right? A bookmark that you can make notes on. Oh, no, that's just a piece of paper. All right, so get a piece of paper.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think it might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out his wheelchair. About four of us... I mean, we battered him.
And this.
Cheated on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.
Ooh, I don't want to hear no more crying. Just come on, let me know what you've been buying.
All right, let's crash on to 2002 now. So by this point, 2002, have you left drama school, Carrie Quinlan? Are you out?
No, I'm still there.
Okay, all right. Well, you're indulging in things like the West Wing Series 1, Part 1. You spent 30 quid on that box set. That's always nice to see.
30 quid?
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, it's still on my shelf now. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that was a good investment in that case.
It was, yeah. And so that's what, in 18 years, that's...
That's one. Are you trying to do maths live on a podcast?
£1.50 a year or something.
That's fine.
£1 something, 60. I don't know.
You know, you're going to get some more years out of it as well. Hopefully, fingers crossed. You know.
Yeah.
You sound well.
Definitely.
So.
Thanks. Yeah. So far.
A bit of
I love
Stevens.
The West Wing.
I mean, we should talk about the West Wing. Actually, sorry. Yeah, I don't want to.
We really should talk.
I don't know why I'm moving on from the West Wing. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant, and I was obsessed with it for a very long time. In fact, the play that I met Maureen Lipman on. Also starred Richard Schiff, who plays Toby Ziegler in The West Wing.
Have you done a play with Richard Schiff?
I've done a play with Richard Schiff, yeah. I mean, I couldn't talk to him or look him in the eye.
Of course not.
But yeah.
Well, was that in his contract or because you were intimidated?
I think it was a little bit of both, Maureen.
He's a lovely man, though. I've talked about him recently on my Cabin Fever podcast because someone I know met him via the BBC, and he apparently all he wanted to do was play golf. He just comes to this country to do plays and just goes sniffing around for rounds of golf. That's his thing.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Mm. So, but lovely guy?
Very nice guy. From what I heard, as I say, I couldn't talk to him.
Right.
Because it was because I just loved Toby so much on The West Wing. It was fucking pathetic. It was really embarrassing.
But we could. You know, the West Wing hit our age group perfectly. It hit us between the eyes at a time when George Bush was seen as the worst possible Republican American leader we could ever imagine.
Imagine
how bad, you know.
Those simpler times.
Right. And where we were dreaming of how we could change the world because we were in our 20s, certainly for me anyway, young 20s and early 20s, same for you, really. And you looked at the West Wing and you just saw people who were proud to be intelligent. And at that point in my life, I'd come out of a school where any sign of being intelligent was an instant opportunity to be bullied and sort of sidelined. And suddenly I came into a world where having left uni, it was more like, oh God, I'm going to take pride in wanting to do stuff and aspiration and not just be this sulky teenager. And the West Wing came along and it was like this light of, oh yes, look at these people. Look at the ability. Look how able they all are. Look how intelligent they are. When Josh was just reeling off stuff. Amazing.
It's not just the intelligence though, is it? It's the fact that they cared.
Yeah.
Because there was something, you know, when you're young, it's, you know, you want to, everyone's a bit cool.
Yes.
And actually giving a shit about anything, it's not cool.
Yeah.
And there were these people working really hard and caring about what they did. But also, for me, there was something really nice and inspiring about lots of actors in their sort of late 30s and 40s and 50s that you'd never heard of being brilliant. Kind of gave me hope.
Yes.
That if you don't make it in your 20s, doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. I remember the Don Draper story. What's his name in real life?
Yeah.
Don Draper.
John Hamm.
So, yeah, when John Hamm got the part in Mad Men, everyone talked about, well, he was much older. He'd been around and he was known to all the casting directors in LA because he'd been auditioning and not getting anything. And that suddenly he got this life-defining role in Mad Men, and I found out, I think when he got it, he was like 35. So I just thought, oh my God, that's so amazing. I'm so pleased. I would lean on that. And then suddenly I'm about to hit 40 and I'm like, I can't lean on that one so much now. That's a problem. I need to look to, you know, I need the next level up of inspiration in terms of older actors suddenly becoming famous.
So that's where the West Wing comes in, I think.
Yeah. And they're good actors. Oh my God.
Oh, they're so, I mean, the fact that you'd never heard of Allison Janney before is insane.
Yeah, CJ, she was fucking, she's great.
She's so brilliant.
It just takes that thing, the bravery of a show. And there's more and more doing it now on Netflix and things to cast unknowns because I don't care. That's why I like Swedish drama or a Scandi drama because I don't know who anyone is and I just believe it. You don't need to put famous people in something to make it work. It's not Hollywood. Just do a good TV show. Do a good script.
Yeah, people who are good at things, do that.
Yeah, imagine that.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Okay, so Carrie Quinlan, we are now diving into, let's skip on ahead a bit, okay? We've done some early noughties, okay? So I'm just going to pick a random year now.
Is any of this interesting?
Oh, no, not at all. But I don't really want people to be interested in the podcast. As long as they listen to the adverts and that triggers and I'll make my 6p for the episode.
That's fine.
It is interesting. I'm loving this. I'm loving the fact that you bought Paul McKenna in 2005, end of August, maybe end of some sort of Edinburgh meltdown, change your life in 7 days. So presumably by mid-September.
That didn't work.
Well, look, mid-September.
He's full of shit.
Mid-September, you bought the Ashes, England versus Australia. You're still into cricket. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you read Paul McKenna? Does it make a difference? Come up.
I did read that one and there was a CD with it and I listened to the CD and I don't think it made any difference.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who'd have thought he's full of shit?
He's also full of cash, Carrie. So
there is that. What was that? There was that. I remember Steve Wright had him on the on his radio show probably around that time, and really made me laugh by claiming that Paul McKenna's new book was "I Can Make Me Rich." Which was great.
Oops. That's a McKinnon slip right there. I can make me even richer. West Wing Series 60, the West Wing is definitely a theme through this period of time.
Very much so, yeah. In the early years of my acting career, when absolutely nothing was happening, I'd get up in the morning, I'd put the kettle on, I would roll a joint. Don't do it, kids, just say no. And I'd think, right, which entire series of the West Wing am I going to watch today?
I mean, basically, you were practicing for lockdown. That's the thing, isn't it?
That was, yeah. So I'm way ahead of the curve in this. I know what I'm doing.
September 2005, Kenneth Williams, an audience with Kenneth Williams. I mean, if ever there was a national treasure who needs to be celebrated more, do you know what I mean? I just cannot get enough of it. There's a great Twitter account. I think it's just called at Kenneth Williams, where they just tweet videos of him. And at least once a day now, Carrie, I watch a brilliant video of Kenneth Williams, and it's really improved my life.
Have you seen the Tomorrow's World?
Oh, with the what?
Isn't it magnificent? Yeah. It's just fabulous. I went through a big phase on those. So ITV used to do these, an audience with. Mm. And the sort of big ones for our generation were Victoria Wood and Billy Connolly.
Yes, of course.
And they were just tremendous. But then there's this sort of treasure trove of them because there's Kenneth Williams and there's Peter Ustinov and they're just brilliant.
They can feel dangerously like a send-off, though, can't they? They can feel a bit like a living
funeral.
They are a bit. By the time you get to an audience with, that is the curtains are beginning to fall.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed your career. Bye.
Yeah. So that makes me happy that I'm never going to get an audience with because things are just on the up and up constantly.
That's probably it. Yeah, I think that's exactly why. But it's great. I highly recommend. This is getting less embarrassing.
Oh, no. Good. No, absolutely. I mean, it goes
but
back.
It'll come back round.
Don't worry. Right next to it, 1st of December 2005, the old straight track, the classic book on ley lines.
That was recommended to me by Steve Punt.
Great. So, and
we're
now finding out
that
one half of Punt and Dennis is into hippie shit.
Well, I have to say, I never read it, but what he was saying about it that was quite interesting was that that it's not about hippie shit, that it's all about all the ley line things were just the shortest distances between two places that were useful, that were then taken on as being, oh, look at these lines. Oh, they must mean something mystical. Mm. And they're actually just old tracks.
Right.
So that's... So, apparently.
So it's basically as
removing
the crow flies.
Any magic. Pretty much, I think. It was just removing any magic from ley lines. And I thought, oh, that sounds really interesting. And then it had really small print and I couldn't be bothered.
Fine.
Yeah.
But you still, it's one of those books where you get your headline information from the book. Turns out ley lines are just sort of medieval motorways.
Yeah.
And you can get all the life.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You can roll another joint and watch The West Wing.
Boom.
2006, Carrie. I mean, there's all sorts going on here.
Is there?
Yeah. There's things I'd expect to see. A bit of Fry and Laurie, Series 1. Yes, please. The Best of the Mamas and the Papas, of course. Why would you
not? Oh, what an album.
Brilliant stuff. Love the Mamas and the Papas. Peter Cook, a biography. Clearly, you're going to be buying that.
Oh, is that the... Harry Thompson one.
Oh, Harry Thompson, R.I.P. The brilliant Harry Thompson.
Oh, that's a hell of a book. That's my favourite biography.
Let's go into that in that case, because
it's really, really funny.
Tell us what, just simply out of pure hilariousness.
Yeah, it's beautifully written, and it's full of really, really funny stories. So. I'm like, I might have to reread that during lockdown.
Well, Harry
it's great. I love it.
Is almost now has become almost as interesting as Peter Cook, which is quite a reach. But Harry Thompson,
blimey. Good luck.
What he invented, Have I Got News for You, and the Ali G show, he was behind those, right?
So the manager. Yeah, he was one of the great comedy producers.
Right, and he wrote this incredible novel. He died really sadly, very, very young as well. It's really tragic that Harry died. This Thing of Darkness, a historical novel. Set on the boat which Darwin was on, and subsequently then was the beginning of his theory of evolution. And it's one of my in my top five novels, This Thing of Darkness by Harry Thompson, if you've not read that. Oh my God, you must read it.
I haven't read it, but I've got a feeling it might come up.
Oh, great. Okay, fine. And then we'll get the...
I might well have bought it, but I haven't read it.
But we get that a lot. The Amazon bought it, not done it shame. Don't worry about that.
Oh, it's terrible.
Worth noting, the biography of Peter Cook. Purchased that three times. You've got that.
Oh, I've given... I tend to give it away.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Have I really bought it three times?
Three times.
On Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why do I get... I've definitely given it away.
So if you're friends with Carrie, she will have either given you a book about churches or Peter Cook's biography.
Basically, yeah.
There you go. See?
Which one's it going
to
be?
We're knowing what it's like to be Carrie Quinlan and what it's like to be around Carrie Quinlan. This is such a great thing. Doctor Who trainer bag. You've bought a bag with a Dalek on. That's on the 19th of January, 2007.
Why would that be January?
Sorry. The return window closed on 19th. You bought it.
Oh, was that Christmas? Christmas.
Yeah, December 2006. Yes, please.
Yeah, that'll be a niece or nephew Christmas present.
Very good present that is too.
Yeah. I'm a quality aunt.
Also, you bought the classic Christmas present. Is there a more definitive Christmas present, Carrie, than the regular metal slinky?
Oh, isn't it though? That might well have been for me.
Anything more tragic than a child in a bungalow at Christmas, nowhere to use their slinky. Because...
It's true. Oh, God, they're so wonderful. It's mesmerising.
Do you know what?
That's meditation. Right
it is meditation. You've got a Rubik's Cube in it. You haven't bought the Rubik's Cube, but that's on the people who bought this also bought. Basically, you know, you're looking at things that kids did in the 80s. Rubik's Cubes and Slinkies. That's all it was if you were, you know, under 10 in the 80s.
Yeah.
Also, maybe you can help us with some of the questions here, because there are questions about the Slinky, because this is what they do on Amazon.
Brilliant.
So here we go. What material is this made from? That's a question about the metal Slinky.
Oh, that's wax.
Right. Okay, thank you. Good. Anyone use this to make a spring reverb unit?
No, but I have made several autumn reverb units with it.
Superb.
Boom.
Thanks for coming. Question here, is it metal? Again, I refer you to the title, The Metal Slinky. That's what it's called, so no need to ask that question probably. It's been answered, though. And someone else has
is
said...
Is it large or small?
Someone else has said, is this slinky big?
Oh, no, it's regular. Come on, guys.
A regular slinky. Doesn't matter anyway. Wow. It's not how big or small your slinky is. It's what you do, etc., etc.
It's how deep your stairs are.
Not great reviews, though. Not great reviews.
Really?
Someone called Mr. North. Measure your stairs before purchasing to avoid disappointment.
Oh, see? It's the depth of your stairs.
But that's like, can you imagine? Dad, what are you doing? Just measuring the stairs?
Measuring the stairs. Might be buying a slinky later on. It's going to be a lovely surprise.
Totally got a slinky coming. And then disappointing performance. I had one as a child, so thought I'd get one for granddaughter. Avoided the cheaper mini plastic models and went for an original. And I set out to video the wonderful way it walks down the stairs for the benefit of Amazon customers. But it only did 3 stairs max before collapsing on itself and having to be rescued.
Ooh.
It's not as big as I remember from childhood. Yeah, rescuing.
Did it fall in the sea?
I don't know. That's a very awkward 999 phone call, isn't it? I've got a shipwrecked slinky halfway up the stairs. So it's not all good at slinky towers. It's worse.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. I'm going to have to work out who I gave it to and find out how it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, get some feedback. Okay, very nice. Let's jump on ahead now. We're going to go to 2010. I'm picking a random year, Carrie, to find out more about the Carrie Quinlan story. Oh, look at this. 12 Jim Dunlop picks. You've got some picks here. December 2010. Are you a guitarist?
I every now and then, I decide to learn.
Right.
And that must have been one of those times that I decided to learn to play the guitar.
Yes.
And I am currently trying to learn to play the guitar.
Well, you're in lockdown.
I know some chords, but I'm not very good.
The other thing that's being bought a lot in 2010 is absolutely, well, here's a good one, The Single Trap, The Two-Step Guide to Escaping It and Finding Lasting Love. This is Andrew G. Marshall.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my God. And bought, Carrie, this is beyond tragic. You don't want to know what date you bought this.
Oh.
What's the worst date in the year to buy?
Oh, God. Was it February the 14th?
You bought it on February the 14th, 2010.
Oh, my word.
Oh, Carrie.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, my God.
On Valentine's Day.
I have absolutely no recollection of that whatsoever. That must have been a fucking low point.
You must
have
been drunk. You must have been drunk and weeping, and you thought, I need... The only solution is The Single Trap, The Two-Step Guide to Escaping It. Presumably step one is remembering you bought the book, and you failed there.
Yeah. Remember, written by Andrew Marshall. Didn't
Andrew
he write
G. Marshall.
4, didn't he write 2.4 Children?
Maybe. Well, that was...
A marital therapist. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, there you go.
By the same author, I Love You But I'm Not In Love With You, and How Can I Ever Trust You Again?
Ooh,
oh.
Andrew's
it's only a two-step
hurt.
Guide, though. What are the two steps?
Well, I don't know. Should we find out? Let's go into it, shall we?
Yeah.
So Valentine's Day, 2010. Are you tired?
Step one,
yeah.
Escaping the single trap. Step two, finding lasting love. That doesn't really...
It's very hard. Also, have you seen the picture of Andrew G. Marshall?
No.
Have a scroll down. Have a look at that.
Oh, Lord.
I find it hard to believe that he's not single.
Oh, he's got a soul patch.
He has got
a soul patch.
Explain what that is, please.
It's midway between a beard and a smudge on one's chin.
It's like someone's taken a Hitler moustache and turned it on its side and then put it below the lip. Put it below the lower lip. And he's got a smile that makes you think he's going to speak like that. I'm Andrew G. Marshall, and I've got two steps to get you back to love.
Oh, Lord. And, although, actually, once we're done here, I might be buying It's Not a Midlife Crisis, It's an Opportunity.
Right, yeah.
How to be 40 or 50-something without going off the rails.
And is that Andrew G. Marshall again?
That is also by Andrew G. Marshall.
Well, nothing says midlife crisis more than putting an initial in your name. You know,
it's cheaper than a motorbike.
Yeah.
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La 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 la.
May 2011. Do you want to tell us how the S Factor strip workouts for every woman has gone?
Yes. That is written by Richard Schiff's wife.
Wow.
And
wonderful.
I bought it while I was working with Richard Schiff.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, no wonder he's such a happy guy, first of all.
Well, quite, yeah.
So...
Yeah, it didn't suit me, it's got to be said.
I just now have this idea that Toby off of the West Wing goes and does gigs and hawks strip workout books to the rest of the cast.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Oh, boy, this is...
Wow.
I'm finding out so much about myself. I'm not sure I ever did anything with that.
Really good book I recommend for every woman. That's from Toby in Washington, D.C. Okay, let's jump on ahead now, Carrie. All right, so we last saw you in 2010 buying books on Valentine's Day and books about stripping in 2011, which yeah. She alleges she's never, ever opened.
I'm sure I've opened it, but I've never actually done a workout.
When you open the book, do you open it really slowly and with like low-level lighting?
Yeah, and then I rip pages out and just throw them at the cats.
July 2015, you have bought for someone called Alison Hill.
Yes.
Who might this be?
Yes.
Alison Hill? Nice.
That is my now fiancé.
Oh, yes, please. There you go.
Then, stalker.
Oh, you were her stalker. She was your stalker.
She was my stalker.
Oh,
she wasn't. Okay. That is not true. She was not my stalker.
How did you meet?
Through a mutual friend. It was a mate of mine called Richard, who I was working with at a young people's sexual health charity at the time.
Wow.
And I came out as gay, mm-hmm. and because you have to say it like that, gay.
I'd rather you didn't. But okay,
in 2015,
fine. Sure.
Yeah. And he said, "Oh, you should meet my friend Ali."
Oh.
And that was it. We fell in love immediately.
That's so lovely. Was it a proper?
Yeah,
was it a proper sort of thunderbolt moment?
Yeah.
She is great. To be fair, she is pretty cool.
She is brilliant.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah. You bought for Ali on July 2015. Kath Kidson cowboy cedar mug. So you bought a mug with a cowboy on it. That's lovely.
Ah, yeah. That, right. From so Ali and I met in November of 2014. So after from then to now, there will be things on my Amazon purchase list that are only there because I've broken them.
Right.
And the Kath Kidston cowboy mug is there because I broke it.
So this was a replacement.
Had to buy a new one. Yeah. I'm really clumsy. It's awful.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really bad.
That's
terrible.
Good to know. That's good to know. March 2015, you've bought some typewriter alphabet letters, coasters for mugs. But you've bought the letters S, H, O, and N. And I'm trying to make those work into a word that makes sense. Could you explain, please?
I think...
So it says Sean at the moment. S-H-O-N. Sean. Yeah. But those could probably be... I'm not very good at anagrams.
No, I think I was topping something up. And I think they sent the wrong letters.
That really ruins the point of the alphabet letters.
Doesn't it?
Coasters.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they had the... I had to send a couple of them back because the letter in the explanation was not the letter on the coaster.
Right. What were you trying to achieve with the letters on the coasters? What word? Because obviously, I would just go for S-H-I-T. You've got S-H, and I was assuming
it's
C-I-N-T. Well,
yeah, quite. It may well be that, but I've got, hits. Maybe I was going for hits.
Mm. All I've got is Sean there. It says Sean, which is just
Sean.
A really weird thing
no,
to have on
nose.
You.
Nose spelt wrong.
Yeah, maybe. All right, fine. Weird coasters that don't spell any words. She's cleaning between her teeth. Turns out she's gay and she's fallen in love with a woman. I mean, a lot's going on, Carrie.
And I'm breaking things. Yeah.
And you're breaking things.
Oh, it's a busy
well.
Time.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a busy old time.
You've got Nature's Miracle Just for Cats Stain Remover from June 2016. Very nice.
So that's when I moved in with the cats and they're quite pissy.
Some pissy cats. Very nice indeed.
Pissy
good.
Cats.
And does that work? Is the stain remover effective?
It does. Yeah, it's very good. Nature's Miracle. I recommend.
Okay. So listen, Carrie, what we've done is the rain begins to fall down and really ruin this recording, which is going to be fun. It's very hard to edit out that
noise.
It's
quite dry here.
It's very...
It's not raining here.
Oh, it's dry here,
I'm,
but it's just
I'm
wet
a
up
mere on. Few miles from you.
Where are you?
It's not raining. I'm in South London, aren't I? You're in North London, aren't you?
We get everything here first, don't we? So
yeah.
So listen, Carrie. Before we leave you, and we've been on a journey with you. We from Maureen Lipman,
haven't we?
You know, leaving Bristol, doing stand up, going to drama school, reading all the books for no reason whatsoever.
Being single on Valentine's Day. Oh God. That's broken my heart.
Like all these, the Valentine's Day thing is a real, for you, low point, but for me, entertainment-wise, absolute high point.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a winner.
So we've seen the past. We've seen the present, which involves cleaning up cat piss. Let's look into the future.
That's
the
my life.
Final thing we're going to do, we're going to look at your wish list, right? And this is where we see the person want to become.
Okay, I should point out that I haven't looked at the wish list in about a decade.
Well, yes, that's not true, because I can see when these things were added. So in 2014... Right?
Oh,
in 2014, Carrie Quinlan wanted to become a parkour and free running expert because she bought the parkour and free running handbook. Who doesn't? Right, thank you.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I mean,
to be good at parkour and free running.
We've discussed already how clumsy you are. Presumably, this is so that you can rescue a trip. You know, you fall over, do a little forward roll, turn it into a bit of parkour. But I think that's what parkour is. It's just people tripping over and trying to make it look
it's just falling with style.
Yeah, you're styling it out, basically.
It
could be a good thing to learn. So you've gone for parkour there. And the other thing, in 2018, which you've bought, and this is the final thing, Carrie.
I didn't buy it. It's on my wish list.
Sorry, it's on your wish list. You know, you're still saving up these £7, which is what you need. By the way, the price has dropped 50% since you added it.
Has it? Blimey.
So this could help. How to run your home without help.
Wow. What's that?
No idea, Carrie. None at all. That is what you're after. By Kay Smallshort and Christina Hardiment.
Oh, it's a lost classic of female writing, apparently.
Oh, I see. So this is a...
Oh, it's 1949. Yeah.
Ah, great. Okay, so this is like a post-war... Women. Right. Overcome your limits.
Yeah. It's probably all about like vinegar and like bottling fruit and stuff.
Yes.
I don't want to do the chemically thing. So I just, you know, clean my house with lemons and tip glasses of water over to keep it clean.
Unless the cats have pissed, in which case you actually buy
unless
the cats
have pissed. Yeah, there's proper hardcore stuff.
A fascinating dip into the recent past. It would be stating the obvious to point out that as a guide to running the home in the 21st century, this book is, of course, little or no use at all. Well, let's see. However, some things have not changed very much. Women still undertake the bulk of the housework. Well, that's not true.
In our
all.
House.
That's not true. Beth, can you switch the Hoover off? I'm recording. Sorry. Thank you. Kay Smallshort edited Good Housekeeping, and this book was written at a time when World War II rationing was still in force and live-in servants had become a rarity.
Well, that's a tragedy, I think.
Still is, yeah. That's what I'm training the children up to become live-in servants. This book is firmly rooted in reality and addresses the fact housework is arduous and tiring. The practical hints and instructions are fascinating, not only because they show the relative inefficiency and scarcity of labour-saving devices, but they also allow us to enter a now-vanished world of darned socks, food rationing, and the Monday wash day.
Ooh. And have you seen our cultural heroes at the moment are not the suffragettes or the bra burners, but those such as Kay Smallshort, who left their bras to soak in warm soapy water for an hour or so before flat drying them, folding them away in a well-dusted drawer, preferably on top of a perfume drawer liner.
What women do with their bras is a way of gauging where we are at in history, isn't it? It's a great...
Isn't it, though?
You know, like... Quite right, they were burned in the 60s and 70s, but in the 40s, they were... What were they? They were put in a bath of vinegar. Is that what she said?
No, just soapy water.
Just soapy water. All right. Ladies, if you're listening, don't put your bras...
So, yeah, there's a bit of feminism for you there.
Lovely. And the rain's finished as well, which is nice. We've gone to complete silence. Carrie Quinlan, we've tracked your life, and in conclusion, I think it's a good one.
Thanks.
I think Valentine's Day 2010 was a low point.
That was a low point, wasn't it? Oh, man.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of the fact that you aspire to doing parkour. I really want you to get that book. I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I think I want to do parkour while cleaning the house.
Yes. Just all you need to do is clean the house.
Attach dusters to my feet and run up the walls.
Exactly. Or just attach dusters to a slinky and then chuck it down the stairs. And
you're good to go. There you go.
Fixed it. Fixed the world.
Perfect.
Didn't have that in the 1940s. Carrie Quinlan, as ever, an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. And at the moment, you are doing, during lockdown, you and Andy Stanton are doing a brilliant daily, is that right, thing?
Every weekday, we're doing a video on the YouTube.
I know it.
Called Homeschooling with the Nincompoops, in which one of us will talk nonsense about a random word from the dictionary. And it's really fun. And you should watch it and tell all your friends.
And indeed, I will. I will. Well, that's only going to be three people, but I'll see what I can do. Carrie Quinlan, thank you for coming. Have a very lovely lockdown. Lots of love. Kind regards. All the best.
You too. Take care, my love.
Oh, there you go. The wonderful Carrie Quinlan there. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I love you for listening, you wonderful human being. I'll be back next week. I've got some brilliant guests lined up. I always say that. And it's true. I do. I was talking to one yesterday. I had to have a preparatory phone call with one guest who's coming on just to make sure it's what they wanted to do. I won't tell you the name in case they pull out. Now they've worked out what it is, but if they come and do it, that's going to be huge and very exciting. As ever, thank you so much for all your kind reviews as well. We've had some new reviews on various platforms, which is really, really nice, and it helps so much. If you go and stick a star rating on there now, then it alerts people to our presence. I think there's something happens and it kind of refreshes itself on browsers and stuff, and it gets more listeners, and I want listeners. I'm in the listener game, me. If I could buy them on Amazon, I would. Thanks for coming. I'll be back next week. Take care. All the best. Kind regards. Lots of love.
GreatBigOwl.com.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Con Sessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hunton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead, and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Con Sessions.
Great Big